Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hi, I'm Irene Watson. I'm your host for today. Today I'm really delighted to be speaking on the phone with Jeremy Gosnell. He's the author of Neptune's Garden. Stay tuned because today we're going to get into some really interesting facts about the coral reefs, climate changes, and how we, as a society, can take our part to preserve all marine life. But first, a little bit about Jeremy. Jeremy Gosnell is a lifelong scuba diver. He has visited some of the most pristine coral reefs in the Caribbean Sea and has worked as a coral reef biology instructor for scuba divers. He is also a feature author for Tropical Fish Hobbyist magazine, and he specializes in reef aquariums that recreate Pacific ecosystems. In addition to scuba diving, he promotes oceanic conservation and is a supporter of the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society. Neptune's Garden is Gosnell's debut novel. Hi, Jeremy.
Hello.
I'm glad to be talking to you today. I have some interest in the coral reef, and this is something that we're going to be talking to you about. So your book, Jeremy, is fiction, but however you draw on it from a lot of your own experience in the coral reef. And so how did you originally get interested in the coral reef?
Well, I've been a coral reef aquarist and marine aquarist. You know, for most of my life, I've always been interested in marine organisms, and of course in Maryland where I live, they're the closest seashore is 5-6 hours away. So I drew off that interest by getting involved in marine aquariums. And that kind of led to an interest, of course, in these animals and the ecosystem that they live in. And, you know, as time went on, and when I got into college, I kind of got interested in exploring that ecosystem for myself. And, of course, the only way to do that is as working as a scuba diver. So I became a PADI-certified scuba diver and began traveling to different reefs throughout the Caribbean and really got an appreciation for the underwater world.
It's certainly a different world down there, isn't it?
It is. It's a very quiet and colorful and peaceful world, that's for sure.
And so right now there's just a lot of talk about the preservation of our coral reef and the climate change. And what do you see is happening?
Well, I think the biggest problem when we discuss preservation of coral reefs is the fact that a lot of people don't understand how important coral reefs are to the health of the ocean. And second, they don't understand how important the health of the ocean is to the health of human beings. The oceans regulate global climate. They absorb carbon dioxide, which is the climate change gas. You know, they, the rainfall and the water cycle is very, very important to every person. And while coral reefs only make up about 25% of the entire mass of the ocean, they're home to about 80% of ocean life. So they're very, very important ecosystems. And while we may not think of it when we live a long ways from a coral reef, they're very interconnected to our own health. And the health of coral reefs and the health of the oceans are extremely important to the health of people. So I think making folks understand that, especially young people, and kind of sparking with them in a desire to preserve coral reefs and preserve the ocean, I think is the first really great step towards a brighter future for the ocean.
Well, it's just that kind of question, what's really going to be happening to our ocean with this current Gulf oil spill? Obviously, that, as we know, it's killing off a lot of marine life. And,
yeah,
you know, we don't know. This is the first in this magnitude, and so we can only speculate what's going to happen. What do you think?
Well, I think the Gulf oil spill is probably going to go down as one of the worst ecological disasters of all time. It's depressing. I mean, for somebody like myself that loves the ocean, that feels a connection to the ocean and kind of understands the ebb and flow of and cycle of life that takes place there, it's devastating. The outcome, sadly, is something that we really don't know, and most conservationists and scientists are saying we probably won't know the outcome of the Gulf oil spill for 15, 20, or 25 years. What we do know is what we've learned from other disasters that are similar, even though the ones in the past haven't been as bad. And, you know, in the areas where the Exxon Valdez went down, mm-hmm. you know, now 20-some years later, there's still oil that washes up on beaches occasionally. So we know that marine wildlife has suffered greatly, and we know that it's going to be an extremely long period of time before the natural oceanic ecosystem can clean this thing up naturally. But the flip side is we really don't know what's going to happen. I would assume, based on what I've read from reliable conservationists, that there are areas of the Gulf Shore and that area of the sea that will just simply never recover.
Oh, I hate to hear that. That would be sad.
It's depressing, and it's if there's anything good that can come, I think, of this oil spill, if there's any silver lining at all, is that hopefully it's gotten people's attention drawn to the importance of preserving the ocean and the importance of, you know, looking at how we power our homes, how we power our vehicles, and what we need to do to make sure that nothing of this magnitude ever happens again.
No kidding. It wasn't long ago there was something on CNN. Several of their staff, divers, the reporters, and went down. And the pictures that they came back with were fascinating and yet very depressing, because there's just so much that we don't know. And I don't know if you saw the same ones as I did, but the photographs of what the water really looks like underneath is devastating.
It is, and I mean, what's going on with the oil spill, especially when we look at marine life that's already threatened and endangered. And I just came back from the Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary in Key Largo, where I spent a couple of days scuba diving, and I was lucky enough to meet with some conservationists and local people that are working to preserve those reefs. But the sad truth is those reefs are already dying. They're already threatened. And if oil makes its way there, which, you know, there's a lot of people that say it won't, and there's a lot of people that say it will, my assumption is it'll end up somewhere in the middle. I think some oil will make it there, probably not as much as they originally anticipated, but it may potentially, you know, devastate one of the most important coral reef ecosystems in the Caribbean Sea, which is just, the thought of it is just upsetting, especially, you know, when you've seen those animals in the wild.
Oh, for sure, for sure. So you're very involved in the conservation, and so what is your involvement?
Well, my main involvement is I was fortunate enough to hook up with an organization out of Montreal called Beautiful Oceans, and they offer a coral reef biology course for scuba divers. And the idea behind it is twofold. The first idea is if we can educate scuba divers about what they're seeing underwater, you know, what the species of an animal is, what its behaviors are, you know, why it's kind of acting the way that it's acting, you can kind of renew or increase someone's appreciation of diving as a recreational sport, since they're kind of learning as they dive. And the flip side is we teach an environmentally friendly approach to diving, you know, how to dive and not damage coral reefs, and how to dive and understand, you know, if something should be cleaned up, or if, you know, you should conduct a beach cleanup or a reef cleanup, and those types of things. So it's kind of a conservation approach to diving through education. And it's kind of an exciting program, and I mean, it slowly takes hold, especially, you know, now with the worldwide economy, and especially the economy in the U.S. has kind of slowed this type of thing down, because people are a little more reluctant to spend money on a program like this. But one thing we've been able to do with Neptune's Garden is sell it through Beautiful Oceans and give 10% of the profits back to the Ocean Conservancy, which right now, with their work on the Gulf oil spill, they can use those proceeds more than ever.
Oh, that's great. That's good. So as a scuba diver and other scuba divers, is there something that is being done by you as a group on the marine conservation?
Oh, there's an incredible amount of stuff that scuba divers do.
Good.
PADI, which is the Professional Association of Dive Instructors, actually has, through that organization, a foundation called Project Aware that collects donations from divers and then hosts a variety of reef cleanup efforts and reef education efforts all over the world, in the South Pacific, in the Caribbean, in the Mediterranean. So that's a huge thing right there. And PADI also has a program for teaching coral reef biology to scuba divers. And then, of course, in South Florida, there's the Reef, just REEF Foundation, that works to monitor and clean up and control the use of coral reefs, the Marine Park, And then scuba divers, there's so many local programs on islands and in you know different places throughout the world where scuba divers just work as a group to monitor the health of coral reefs. They work sometimes with state or federal agencies to take documented fish countings and see how the health of the coral reef is growing or declining. So those types of programs are really exciting. And scuba divers are also working where I live in Maryland. I live on a large freshwater lake. And I'm trying to organize or have tried to organize the same type of program on the local level for freshwater bodies of water, too. So the possibilities for divers to help clean up aquatic environments, it's almost limitless.
Well, it sure sounds like it, of course. And, yes, our freshwater lakes are also being polluted, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. I'm Juanita Watson, the host of the show, and invite you to join me as I bring to the air both well-known and upcoming writers. You will hear my guests talk candidly about their books, their life experience, specific topics, and the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, my intention is to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are syndicated and archived for availability 24/7 through direct podcast and MP3 download. And as always, I love to hear from listeners. Have a look at our website, InsideScoopLive.com. Send me an email, comment on previous guests, and let me know who you'd like to hear on the show. I'll do my best to bring you your favorite authors live and direct.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. We're speaking today with Jeremy Gosnell. As you have heard so far, Jeremy is giving us insight into what is really going on under the surface of our oceans. Stay tuned because we're going to even get a little deeper in this. As I says, people that are not scuba divers, what can we actually do in our homes, in our environments, to preserve this marine, the life that's happening out there and what's not happening? What can we do?
Well, I think the most important thing that any person can do that's unfamiliar with the ocean or a coral reef is just educate yourself. Read some books. Sylvia Earle has an excellent book called The World is Blue, which kind of, you know, goes into detail about how important the ocean is to human life. So just education in general helps. I mean, once you learn to appreciate something, then you kind of have more of a heartfelt enthusiasm about actually protecting it. But, you know, the important stuff that you can do at home is, it's really simple stuff, you know, monitoring your water usage. You know, it's, I think I read a statistic that if you turn the water off while you brush your teeth and don't leave it run the whole time, it conserves an incredible amount of water resources and electric resources. If there's a renewable energy source available for you, a wind power or something of that nature, you know, and you can afford to use it, use it. If you can afford to drive a hybrid vehicle or a new electronic vehicle like the one that's coming out, the Leaf from Nissan,
yes,
you know, do something like that. Recycle. I mean, just it's really basic stuff. And all of the things that are talked about today, green initiatives that help clean up the planet, well, they're helping to clean up the ocean, too. So if you can do that stuff and then educate yourself and your family and your children and your friends about how important ocean ecosystems are to our daily lives, that's really a huge step in the right direction.
Oh, I so agree with you. It doesn't necessarily mean that just because we don't live by the ocean that we can't help preserve it.
There's a saying that I really like that a lot of conservationists use, that every drop of water eventually returns to the ocean. So if you think about that and you think about every drop of water, what we use for sewage waste disposal, what we use to dump chemical pollutants into, all of those things, and think that eventually, either in the form of air evaporation through a river or through a stream, it will make its way back to the ocean, I think it gives a very realistic view of just how important waterway management and conservation is.
Do you think that there's enough education to the young people right now?
About the ocean, I don't, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I know my mom's been a school teacher her entire life, and for the past 3 or 4 years, I've done a program with the local school kids where I'll take scuba equipment in, and I'll talk about the ocean, and I'll show DVDs and get them all excited about this stuff. And last year, we were able to actually start a reef aquarium in one of the schools. So I think children, especially elementary age children, are hungry for that knowledge. And I think when they learn about oceanic animals, they get very excited because in many cases, they've never seen anything like it before. But sadly, I think in curriculum, I think for many places, you know, like where I live, where there's not an ocean or a beach nearby, I don't think there's a whole lot to educate kids about the ocean, and I think it kind of falls by the wayside. We spend a lot more time talking about forests and elephants and you know, African savannas and jungles than we do about the ocean.
Yeah. And we're surrounded by the ocean, aren't we?
Really, we are, yeah. If you look at the planet from space, it kind of looks like all the continents are just little islands in a great big ocean.
Exactly. And unfortunately, that's shrinking too. So now, as a scuba diver, what was the most exciting experience that you've ever had?
Oh, I think the most exciting experience as a diver I've ever had was diving with reef sharks in the Bahamas. They do a program, and it's fake value if I show someone. I have this event that I went through on DVD. If you show someone this DVD, you know, they probably think you're nuts. But and the reality of it is the sharks are one of the most harmless animals on the planet, and typically when they do harm a person or bite a person, it's really a case of mistaken identity. And unfortunately for human beings, the way that a shark kind of piques its curiosity is by biting something. So, you know, you get a bite from a shark that's kind of an exploratory bite. You know, what is this creature? And unfortunately, it's enough to harm or kill a person. But the dive they do in the Bahamas, they actually take you down to about 60 feet, and they have a person in the center, and all the divers sit in a circle. And the person in the center is a shark feeder, and they wear a chainmail protective suit. And they wear this suit, and they feed these sharks. And you get, you know, 50, 60, 70 sharks come in. Some of them are 9 feet. Some of them are 11 feet. And they're circling around. They're swimming around everybody, and they're going after the food, and they're going after each other. So it's a very, very tense and very, very exciting experience. And you're so close to sharks, you can actually feel their tail fin hit you on the back of the head as they swim by.
Wow. Were you afraid? was there some fear there?
For the first 15 minutes, I was pretty afraid. I mean, as we got in the water for that dive, the sharks, I'm sure they do this every day, so the sharks have gotten used to it. They know when the boat comes up that it's dinner time. So they were actually circling the boat as we got in the water, and then when you get down about 60 feet and they're everywhere, it's for about 15, 20 minutes. It's a little unnerving.
So what was the total time that you were down there?
We were down there for about 45 minutes.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Wow, what an experience.
I think everybody back home when I was there was scared to death.
Yes, I bet they were really happy to have you home and alive.
Yeah, I sent some pictures of myself with all my arms and legs when I got back.
That's right, not some fatality that was on the national news or something.
Yeah.
That's great. So let's talk a little bit about your book. It's fictional, but from what I can see, it has a lot of reality in it.
It does. It's you know, it's very deeply rooted in scuba diving, and I think anyone who is a scuba diver and has been part of that lifestyle will connect with the book. But it's really a book for anybody. It's got a lot of elements of different stories. It's got some elements of a love story. I mean, I guess at its core, it kind of is a love story. It's got some action adventure elements. It's got some sci-fi elements, and it kind of combines all this together. And I guess it's hard. It's the story of the two central characters. You have an underwater explorer and journalist whose wife has been tragically killed in a plane crash, and it's kind of about his journey to learn more about who his wife was, more about who he is, and more about, I guess, the ocean, too. And it takes him, you know, from his home in Seattle, Washington, to Raja Ampat in Indonesia, which is this amazing chain of islands with some of the richest coral reefs in the world, in search of the famous, you know, lost city of Atlantis. And it has a lot of kind of, you know, the myth of Atlantis and Norse legend kind of mixed in with this plot about trying to find that place and find out who his deceased wife really was.
Wow, it sounds like an interesting book. And like you say, it's not only for people that are scuba divers or involved with marine life, but also it sounds like it could be educational too.
Well, I tried with Neptune's Garden. You know,
mm-hmm.
Personally, I've learned a lot about important real-world issues through fictional media, through movies or books or things of that nature. And I think it's a great outlet to teach people, because you learn the best when you're having fun. So if you're following a good story or watching a good movie, you're learning at the same time, whether you even realize it or not. So everything I included in Neptune's Garden about coral reef life, coral reef preservation, that's all real. That's all stuff that goes on, all the stuff about scuba diving and stuff that we do all the time. And I kind of weaved it in with this science fiction plot about these two characters, you know, reconnecting together to kind of educate people at the same time as they're reading, you know. And they come back with, the story has a very strong conservation theme to it, you know, about this one character's mission to be a good steward to the planet, a good steward to the ocean, and educate people about taking care of the planet and the ocean. And that's kind of the central theme, and that's what I hope readers come back with after they finish the book.
Well, I'm sure that they will. Jeremy, how about giving our readers your website address?
The website for the book is www.neptunesgardensite.com. So it's just the book's title, Neptune's Garden, and then the word site, .com, and they can learn about the book. They can read the first chapter. They can order it, and they can contact me directly if they would like.
Yes, and also when I was browsing your website, I see that you have a writing contest.
I do.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, I have a writing contest, and I've gotten some great submissions from folks via email, via Facebook, via regular mail. And, yeah, I encourage people once a month to send me a short one-page piece of fiction, something quick, something unique. I'd like to see them tie it into the ocean as best they can. And whoever wins for that month gets a free autographed copy of the book.
Well, how good is that? I tell you. There again, listeners, that's neptunesgardensite.com. And go ahead and check out Jeremy's book, Neptune's Garden, and also check out that writing contest. Who knows? You just may win a new book. Thank you very much, Jeremy. This has been a really educational interview, and I know that our listeners have also gleaned a lot of information, and as I certainly have too. And before we close, is there anything you'd like to tell our listening audience, possibly about the marine life or what's happening right now?
Well, the only thing I would encourage the listening audience to do, and in addition to reading my book, of course, is, you know, read about the oil spill, read about what's going on there, and find, I think anybody can connect. I think one of the most important things to do to preserve marine life is connect with a species of fish or something that you really find interesting. Say it's sharks, maybe it's whales, maybe it's dolphins. And find out what you can do to help preserve that one species. You know, donating money to a group that helps, you know, say save the manatee, that helps preserve manatees in Florida and South Florida. Something like that is a huge, huge step. If we had 30% of the population doing things like that, we would really be making a tremendous difference.
Oh, I so agree with you. And there you go, listeners. Even you have an opportunity to help out and save, and education is such an important matter in this. So thanks again, Jeremy. I really do appreciate you taking the time and talking to us. And again, listeners, do check out Neptune's Garden. Come back and listen to other interviews, and I will see you again soon. This is Irene for Inside Scoop Live. Bye for now.